The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all breaking.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, hope you're all well. Welcome along to our Wednesday's Racing Podcast here with William Hill Radio. It's Dave Kellner in the studio with Mark Walton to look ahead to Wednesday's racing action. Don't switch off the sound just yet, folks. Should be good. Mark Walton's been poring through the form at Weatherby and at Kempton, and we'll get to those a couple of meetings in just a second. But we've got a huge weekend's racing action coming up with quality action at Newbury and at Newcastle as well. Some of those races priced up, Antipost in fact, a couple of the races on the William Hill website, sports.williamhill.com, and we'll get to those in just a second. But first, welcome to Mr. Mark Walton. How are you doing, Mark?
Yes, very good, thank you. Another great weekend of racing, isn't it? They're coming every weekend. It's brilliant stuff, isn't it? We've had the Upper meeting, then last weekend we had the Betfair Chase, and
yep.
And then this weekend we've got the Fighting Fifth, and we've got the Hennessy, and then next weekend we've got the Tingle Creek, and then whatever else is after that, is
yeah, it just keeps on coming, doesn't it? That's the great thing about National Hunt Racing. A lot of the time after Christmas it does all seemingly revolve around the Cheltenham Festival and getting prepared for the Cheltenham Festival, and horses, what race are they going to run in at the Cheltenham Festival? That debate rages on for a couple of months after Christmas. But before Christmas, you forget that at the start of the National Hunt season, there is good quality action week after week after week. And I'm looking forward to the long distance hurdle as well this weekend at Newbury, given that at Fisher's Cross, one of the most exciting horses in training is scheduled to make his belated reappearance. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Should be a cracking weekend.
Should, yeah. And Barry Geraghty's going to ride at Fisher's Cross, isn't he? Because obviously AP McCoy's going up to Newcastle. And Geraghty's said in the news, he's excited about riding the real deal Fisher's. So, yeah, he's excited about it. You're excited about it. I'm excited about it.
Everybody's excited about it.
Yes.
Let's start off with the Fighting Fifth then. Good link from AP McCoy riding there instead of going to Newbury, and he's on the hot favourite, My Tent or Yours, 4-6 favourite. Melodic Rendezvous, 11-4. One of my favourite horses in training, Grimetti, is 8-1. Cockney Sparrow, 11-1. Cotton Mill and Duke of Navarre, 14-1, and it's 16s and bigger the rest. It's a tantalising encounter, this one. The bookmaker, William Hill, reckon it looks like a match on paper to them. 4-6, My Tent or Yours. Melodic Rendezvous, 11-4, albeit a one-sided match. Because My Tent or Yours, the JP McManus owned, Nicky Henderson trained horses, is 4-6 favourite. Can you see it going off shorter or longer?
About 4-6.
It should go about 4-6.
I think it will be odds on, won't it? But yeah. I think the fact that if the field stays like that, it can't really go too much further odds on, can it?
No.
We've got Melodic Rendezvous in there, as you've mentioned, the most likely danger at the moment. Grimetti in there. We've also got Cockney Sparrow. The Quins have a decent record in the race. They won it last year. Cotton Mill, Duke of Navan, all decent. And Puffin Billy, a horse that I followed for quite a long time last season, that's in there as well. So if that field holds up, it's going to be a good renewal of the race. But My Tent or Yours, definitely the one to beat. 9 career starts, 5 wins, 4 seconds, never out of the front two. It's the only time last season that it was out of this calendar year,
yeah,
was behind Champagne Fever in the Supreme Novices. Apart from that, it won the other 4 races that it had in 2013. Second at Newbury in last December in an introductory hurdle. So as he's got used to going over hurdles, he's
quality.
Yeah,
he's absolute
horse.
Quality. Melodic Rendezvous' form, he's slightly... There's a cloud over that form now with Far West's performance last weekend. Went off 11-10. In that race last weekend, Far West, and was beaten by Rolling Star comprehensively, 9.25 lengths in the end, sent off 11-10 favourite. Melodic Rendezvous did get the upper hand on Far West on his reappearance run a couple of weeks ago, but that's is that a little bit is that a little bit of a question now? The quality of that form?
To use an old racing cliche, you can only beat what's put in front of you. And the fact that that was...
This is why you're on the podcast. This is why you've made that leap.
Yeah, Far West might not have boosted the form this weekend, but it's still a grade 2 handicap. It's still a good level handicap, and that's a fourth win in a row for him. I don't think you can crib Melodic Rendezvous. I don't think Far West probably ran his race either, which... if Far West had run his race, then we would have seen it much closer in the betting for this. So if you're a fan of Melodic Rendezvous...
I don't agree with that.
Do you not?
Disagree. I think if Far West had won that race at 11-10, Melodic Rendezvous would still be 11-4. I think.
Fair enough. I just think it'd be a little bit closer in the betting. Okay. I think you'd probably get something like 5-2.
Yeah, 5-2 or 9-4. Yeah. I'm just concerned that Far West didn't uphold that Melodic Rendezvous form, and that is a concern coming into this Fighting Fifth Hurdle. Melodic Rendezvous is not as good a horse as My Tent or Yours. Let's just lay our cards on the table here. My Tent or Yours is a better horse, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But Melodic Rendezvous is a good horse.
Yeah.
He caught a few people's eye last year, and his reappearance, his runs this season, I've not let anybody down. I mean, I don't see what he has to do to prove that he's a good horse. But
no.
Well, maybe beat My Tent or Yours, that'll probably prove it. But
well, that would put him in the champion hurdle picture without a doubt, yeah, if he did manage to get on top of My Tent or Yours. But are you thinking My Tent or Yours wins the race?
I think he does.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to see past him. AP McCoy's gone up to Newcastle again to ride in the race rather than going to the Hennessy meeting at Newbury, and it's very hard to see past him, isn't it? I want Puffin Billy to win the race because it's Mike.
If only it works like that, we'd all be rich, wouldn't we?
We would.
We'd all be rich.
You'd have Grometti winning the race, and yeah, I'd have Puffin Billy winning the race, and we'd all be happy.
I'm hoping Grometti can just get back to his absolute best, because he had a setback, didn't reappear until in 2013, earlier on in the calendar year, late last season, and he was a top juvenile hurdler. I was very, very impressed with Grometti when he was just touched off by Countrywide Flame in that, I said just touched off, finished third in the end, in that Supreme Novices hurdle, and I really think that he's a top quality horse, and Alan King apparently has said in the press that he's back to his best, so hopefully we'll see the real Grometti on Saturday. Should be an entertaining race, but My Tent or Yours, worthy favourite at 4-6. What about the other big race at the weekend, the Hennessy? News in the Racing Post that Jim Colotti, well, he's particularly bullish on the chances of Lord Windermere, the winner of the RSA Chase last year. And horses that have attempted to win the Hennessy in the same calendar year, I've said calendar year more than I've ever said calendar year before, have got a good record. Tripolgan won it in 2005.
What's the opposite to a calendar year?
I don't know if there's an opposite to the calendar year. I suppose the horse racing year is the opposite to the calendar year. Or not the opposite, but it's different to the calendar year. Denman won in 2007. Bobsworth won the race in 2012. All RSA winners who have attempted to win the Hennessy in the same calendar year. Can this horse do it, Lord Windermere?
Well, I was impressed with him last year in the RSA. And like you said, Jim Colotti's very, very bullish about his chances. I think he's quoted as saying he's twice the horse he was last year, which is saying something, isn't it? And what price have we got him in at? I mean, is he an each way?
10-1.
10-1. See, that's not a bad price for a horse.
I think it's a good price.
That's a proven top level performer. And if he has improved over the summer, as they're saying, then I think 10-1's a great price. I mean, Invictus at the top of betting there, 7-1. That's a horse overcoming a 600 and odd day absence. That would have to be quite a training performance to come back from that long and win the Hennessy, which is one of the hardest races to win of the year anyway.
Yeah.
So I'd be against Invictus at the top of the betting. Rocky Creek, that's been quite well backed this week, into 7-1 joint favourite now. That goes there with a chance. But, 10-1 about Lord Windermere, I think that's not a bad price at all. So, interesting. And I like to see a bit of trainer confidence behind the stories in the lead up to the week. So it'd be good for something like that, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Do check out the Hennessy Gold Cup prices on the website. Invictus and Rocky Creek 7-1 joints.
Just to jump in as well, the old sentimental side of me
Yeah.
wants to see Imperial Commander win this. he's 16 to 1, and it's his final ever race. Is the Hennessy Gold Cup. So what a story that would be. I mean, he came back last year, didn't he, for a couple of races, and he was pretty impressive in the when he finished second on reappearance at Cheltenham in the Argento. Gutsy performance, wasn't he? Just went down behind Cape Tribulation in the end, and then unfortunately
he's a real bull of a horse, isn't he?
Yeah, and they went to the Grand National, which is remarkable, isn't it? And he pulled up in the Grand National. But if he were to go out in the Hennessy and have one big final prize, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. I don't see it happening, but 16 to 1 it does. Imperial Commander winning the Hennessy on his last ever start. I do think the 10 to 1 on Lord Windermere, pretty attractive there in the Hennessy, but need to do a little bit more study in the lead up to that big race at the weekend. Shall we have a look at some of Wednesday's racing action?
Yeah. Do you fancy going to Weatherby DK?
I might do. Yeah. We've been talking about that, haven't we? It depends how informative these selections are right now, whether or not we go or not. We're going to have a look at a couple of races at Weatherby and then have a look at the listed race at Kempton on Wednesday evening. Start off with the Stoford Press Cider Handicap Chase, the 150 at Weatherby. And this is a handicap chase for 4-year-olds and upwards, over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. We've got 9 runners, so it's got a good each way angle to the race, or an each way look to the race. Are you going for one each way, Mark?
Yeah, I probably will do. Hollow Blue Sky is going to be the favourite.
Yep.
I'm keen to take this one on, actually. Returned from a lengthy absence to make a winning chase debut at Carlisle. That was 4 weeks ago. So with there being a 4-week gap, I don't think that there's necessarily the bounce factor involved, because there's enough time between the races. But he's £7 higher here. And the actual form of that race looks okay. I quite like the nephew, the John Joe Neal horse. That was second, a neck behind Hollow Blue Sky. But it's just the yard form. The form of the Nigel Twiston Davis yard is quiet, to say the least. I think he's only had 3 winners in the whole of November so far, which is remarkably quiet for his standards.
Yeah, lots of runners.
There's been a few places as well in there, but it's just... I think he's... Well, I was trolling back and I got to the end of October and I still only had 3 winners counted up, so his yard has been quiet. So, yeah, I just for that reason only, I'd take Hollow Blue Sky on Wednesday and just wait for them to turn the corner. Especially because Whiskey Ridge, who's likely to be somewhere near the top of the betting as well, is quite interesting. Easy winner over course and distance in May. He'd be Atty Cran on that occasion, who I think runs... on Tuesday as we record this, so I'm going to keep an eye on that form. He won that race by 23 lengths, absolutely hacked up, and then he's up £16 for that, which is obviously quite a rise in the weights. But he does stay well, and if the ground is testing and it's over 2.6 miles, you want a horse that's going to stay very well. I think he's got a pretty good chance. Allenard found only 1-2 good last time at Hexham when he was behind Rossini's Dancer, who subsequently went on to win a better race at Aintree, so that form looks pretty good. And Ultra de Châtelet, who's also in the race on Wednesday, was back in fourth in that race, so that form should hold up. Good to know another one that you can mention, second over 2.5 miles at Weatherby last time, so course form in the book there. But I quite like Allenard, and if you can get an each-way price about Allenard, given that that form's been boosted by... Rossini's Dancer since, I think that's quite good form. And on the, you know, if you can get something like 6-1, 5-1, something like that, I think that's quite a good each way bet, because I think the favourite's got a few question marks around it.
Allenard in the 150 at Weatherby. The 3 o'clock at Weatherby is the William Hill Yorkshire Winter Festival Handicap Chase over a couple of miles, and this is a 7-runner race, but pretty competitive. The top horse, I suppose, is the one we've got to mention for Sacratoire, who was in good form at the back end of last season, prior to his last run anyway, where he finished 6 of 7, beaten 44 lengths. But he was pitched into listed company for that race when finishing well-tailed off behind Conquisto. This looks like more his level.
Yeah, and that's going to be the selection. You've hit the nail on the head, David. Sacratoire, yes, won 3 of his last 5 starts. Aaron Kelso with the two venues, class 4 handicaps on heavy and soft ground, which is very similar to the conditions he's going to get at Weatherby on Wednesday. Well beaten at listed level, like you say, Air in April, but that was listed level. He was never going to get involved in that race for me. Conquisto, who won the race, has gone on to win the Old Roan Chase this year, so the winner of the race is pretty good, 44 lengths in front of Sacratoire.
Yeah.
But the form is basically what I'm trying to say is solid. It is listed form.
Yeah.
It's not a weak listed race that he's tried to win. It's solid listed form. And that was always going to be too high for him. So back at this kind of level, I like Sacquatoire. And I think the ground and everything else is in his favour. So he's got a good chance for me. Firth of the Clyde, second behind Definite Dream at Carlisle, beating a length. That's okay as well on his reappearance. Malcolm Jefferson does quite well at Weatherby normally. So I think that's got a decent enough chance as well. Rhymer's Hard's consistent enough, but doesn't get his head in front enough for me anymore. But Lucinda Russell's Yard is in pretty good form. Blackwater King, Donald McCain, not really hit full stride for me yet. So yeah, I'm going to go with Sacquatoire.
Sue Smith does well at this meeting, doesn't she?
Yeah,
as
she
well,
does, yeah.
Very well. Her last
Tahiti Pearl.
Yeah, her last five runners at Weatherby, three of them have won. Mm. Admittedly, all three of them favourites, but Tahiti Pearl, interesting as well in that 3 o'clock at Weatherby. Moving on then to the 6 o'clock at Kempton, which is the Wildflower Stakes, a listed contest, seven runners at a mile and a half here, and this is probably a little bit of a weaker listed race, but you have got Bonoffi in there. Bonoffi won the Lancashire Oaks, didn't she? I think. Was it the Lancashire
Cheshire
Oaks?
Oaks?
Cheshire Oaks.
Yeah, Chester.
Yeah. Why did I say Lancashire Oaks?
Don't know.
Is it called the Lancashire Oaks?
Cheshire Oaks.
Yeah.
There is a Lancashire Oaks.
There is a Lancashire Oaks. It was Cheshire Oaks that she won, yeah.
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 And there's a Yorkshire Oaks.
There is, isn't there, yeah.
And there's the Oaks.
I don't know why I thought it was the Lancashire Oaks, but it was the Cheshire Oaks at Chester, yeah.
Yeah.
But she's not, subsequently, she's not really improved on that form.
Yeah, probably not. She ran in the actual Oaks, didn't she? Beating 14 lengths behind Talent. Then she did run in the Lancashire Oaks.
Ah, that's where I'm getting it
but
from.
But she finished fifth.
Right.
Behind Emirates Queen, beating four lengths at Haydock. Last of the 14 in the Nassau Stakes, which is a Phillies Group One, so... Yeah.
she's
down to listed result.
This is her level, isn't it? Listed level,
yeah.
I think.
Well, I think she might be slightly better than listed level.
Do you?
In time. Well, I say in time. She should have been already for me. She has been a little bit disappointing since that race at Chester. But I think this is a good opportunity to bounce back for her. Yeah, so I'll be looking for more from her. And to be fair, that's the reason why I looked at this race.
Yeah.
I mean, Fat Sota has been relatively consistent at similar kind of level. Third at Newmarket last time, enlisted company behind Nabucco, not beating too far actually. Raced in Longchamp on Arc Day in the pre-dollar.
Yeah.
Behind Cirrus de Zeg on that occasion. And that was when Cirrus de Zeg bounced back. Epsom, it was the day before Arc Day, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, on the Saturday.
Yeah, and last time she Fat Sota won was in a handicap at Epsom. So listed company might just be a little bit too high for Fat Sota, and I think with a proven listed performer like Bonoffi, who I still think should be better than that.
Okay,
it's a good chance to get back to winning ways.
Okay, so your three picks here: Alan Ard in the 150 at Weatherby, in the 3 o'clock at Weatherby Sacquatoire, and in the 6 o'clock at Kempton Bonoffi. Maybe a Trixie Patent, something like that, for those three selections, or you could just ignore them completely. It's entirely up to you, listeners. We should have a good show on Wednesday, though, folks. We've got Sam Turner in the studio with James Millman and Stephen Powell. So a good trio to take you through all the racing action. We've got meetings at Lingfield, at Weatherby, and at Fontwell in the afternoon. And we've got Kempton and Dundalk in the evening. The show starts at 11:50 a.m., so... make sure you don't get caught out when you're here with us from 11:50. You can email studio@williamhill.co.uk is the email address, and you can tweet at Will Hill Racing as well. Thanks for your company, Mark.
Cheers. It's been good.
And thanks to you for listening to Wednesday's Racing Podcast. We'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.